You may remember that I proposed that we, this time through, we look at the psalm between the two readings. And we have a beautiful psalm to start off with. This is Psalm 40. I waited for the Lord, who bent, and he bent down and drew me out of the pit of destruction, out of the mud of the swamp. He set my feet upon a rock, steadied my steps, and put a new song into my mouth, a hymn to our God. Now, who's praying there? Jesus. This is a hymn in honor of the resurrection. Now, that's the... It's a song of thanksgiving for someone who was healed from bad illness. But I remember one year in Jerusalem, I was saying the office, and this was the psalm, and it just became crystal clear to me. You see, he drew me out of the pit of destruction, out of the mud of the swamp. He set my feet upon a rock, steadied my steps. He put a new song into my mouth, a hymn to our God. Many shall look on in awe, and they shall trust in the Lord. That's how this song begins. It is very, very precious. He put into my mouth Shir Hadash, a new song. When do you sing a new song? When God does something new. God makes the new songs possible. Otherwise, it's just new words, new music, but new, it's not a new song. A new song, and that's why we have so often in the sing to the Lord a new song. Now we can sing this new song, you see. So, it goes on then. See, he set me on a rock. This is Jesus, okay? Now, I'm trying to look now. See, I waited. He stooped toward me. I'm trying to... Now, of course, the edit for our little responsorial. You know, there's 18 verses in this psalm, and we're only going to get about 3. Well, I could read the whole thing every day, but you'd all be late for work. I mean, so we have to do what we can do. Many shall look on in awe, and they shall trust in the Lord. Blessed are those. Huh? And you know how famous that word is. Huh? Blessed. Blessed are those. Blessed means that God looks on with great love and compassion. Blessed are those. Huh? Who trust in the Lord, who turn not to idolatry or to those who stray after falsehood. And so then he goes on, you see, here am I, your commands for me are written in the scroll, you see. And then I know that now. To do your will is my delight, my God. Your law is within my heart. Can you hear Jesus praying this? Especially on that moment when he rose from the dead and stood there, you know, in front of that rock tomb, the rock thrown down, stood there and said these words. You see? And so it goes on in our what we have today. Sacrifice or oblation you wish not, but ears open to obedience you gave me. That's what the Hebrew text says. Probably alludes to this, do you smell something burning? All right, must be me. This was a ritual. If a Hebrew man had been a slave to another Hebrew man but wanted to stay in his household as a slave, weren't all slaves, weren't like what we were doing to the African Americans in the South, you know. It was a ceremony. You went to the doorpost of his house and he took an awl and he made a hole in your ear. And that means from now on, you're obedient to me. And so that's what it says here, you see. You opened my ear, you see. Now, when the translators, putting it into Greek, we're going to have to translate that, they said, outside of our world and our customs, that won't make any sense. So they translated it, and a body, you fit it out for me. Because if I don't have a body, I can't do your will. And so they translated that line. That was the Holy Spirit helping them, expanding the meaning of that text. Why? Isn't this the whole foundation for the theology of the incarnation in the letter to the Hebrews? Isn't this chapter 10 in Hebrews where he quotes this? You gave me a body. Now in my body, here in a human world, I can do your will. I have a body to offer to you. I can offer my body on the cross. And so, that's how the psalm goes on, you see. In the written scroll, see, they have to skip because you got to go to work. But see, to do your will, oh my God, is my delight. And your law is within my heart. Isn't that what he promised? I will put my law in their heart. I will put my spirit, I will write my law. I will put my spirit in their heart. See, this is the song that Jesus sang as he stood there in front of the tomb, having thrown down the stone. The angels were standing there, and he sang this psalm. You see? And then it goes on. Oh, I see I don't have the rest of it here. But okay. I announce your justice in the vast assembly. That's every day right here. Every day. I proclaim your name to my brothers, as he promised in Psalm 22. That afflicted man in Psalm 22, and then you heard me. You heard the poor man's cry. The last thing he says is, I will declare your name to my brothers, my sisters. That's what he does every liturgy. The Lord is standing here, proclaiming the Father's name, you see. I did not restrain my lips, as you know, O Lord. So this psalm is meant to move us from Samuel to the gospel, where somebody is healed of illness. And that too is a vocation story. That's enough though, isn't it? I'll tell you a little bit here though. She's healed. What does she do when she's healed? She serves. Right? He approached her, grasped her hand, lifted her up, the fever left her, and she waited on them. Who waits on the brethren? People with a Christian vocation. This is her vocation story. And now she serves, because that's what the Lord does. And so this psalm is meant to sort of move us from one to the other. But as you can see, it has its own intrinsic word. Just look at Jesus, risen. He was in a miry pit. He went to the pits of purgatory, hell, Sheol, and now stands there glorious for all eternity. For all eternity. Showing the world, showing the Father his wounds, showing his love, singing this song, I waited for the Lord. And he stooped down and heard my cry. He drew me out of the pit of destruction, out of the mud of the swamp. He set my feet upon a rock. He steadied my steps. He put a new song into my mouth, a hymn to our God.